Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1. That's where we're going to be starting today. It's where we always start, isn't it, in the Word. That is where we find our life, our truth, our hope. Powerful thing. On that note, guys, have you ever gone halfway through your day with your zipper down and nobody told you? You know, what makes it worse is when you were with somebody all day and they didn't tell you. Isn't it? Ladies, have you ever gone through the day and you've got like lipstick on your tooth or something in your teeth and nobody tells you about it? And again, you were with somebody all day and they never said a word. How about younger people that are in the dating age of life? Although that could be any age these days, right? Never, don't have to be young. But you're dating somebody and all of a sudden you find out that they were a real loser, waste of time, whether that was the male or the female side. And somebody says afterwards, well, I could have told you that. It's like, well, why didn't you tell me that, you know? I should love that when people do that for you. If they're your friend, they're going to tell you, right? You got something in your teeth or whatever. Mirrors can be our friends, can't they? I guess I got a little conflicting opinions about that. I don't know. Well, They tell it like it is, don't they? They kind of speak truth to you, don't they? Mirrors do. Aren't you glad God is not like that person that just doesn't tell you what you wish they would have told you? He's not. He's the friend that tells you. He is the mirror that says, oh, look, that's what you really look like, not what you wish you looked like, right? God is that friend. He's that person. He does speak truth to us. And that's what we're going to be finding out today. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God together today. All right. Let's read together. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Thank you, Lord, for the powerful, life-changing, simple, yet so foundational and so life-changing. Thank you for your word, Lord, that speaks truth to us. Open our hearts and minds, Lord God, to be able to find, as this verse said right at the end, the blessing that is there for us. God, you want to bless us. You desire to bless us. We want your blessing. Would you help us to hear and be able to really take and apply in our hearts what you have in mind for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. So how do I look at the mirror? How do I look at the Word of God? It makes a big difference. We're going to be revisiting some things that we've talked about in the last month or so. But it's so, so vital. Do I look at the Word as a list of things to check off? Or a number, a set of rules that I'm required to obey? I think, go to the next one, Scott. I think my next one. Actually, back two. Oh, really? Okay. I might have left one out there. My bad if I did. But yeah, how do we look at God's, at the Word of God? Is it just something that we're supposed to abide by and look at and obey and follow those rules and commands or the list there? We talked about that as being a fear-based. Actually, go on to the next one because it's on there. If we look at it as just a list of rules and things that I need to check off my to-do in order to make God happy, that's going to be a fear-bonded way of relationship with God. All we're doing is trying to avoid getting caught, right? We want to make sure I don't get busted. We want to make sure I don't make God mad. I don't want to fall short of God. Or I want to avoid God's accusing finger pointing at me. You did that wrong. That's looking at God in a way that says, I'm fearful of God, and I don't want to get on his bad side. How would you like your child to look at you with that in that way? I don't want to get Dad mad because, man, I don't want the consequences. That wouldn't be much of a relationship with your child, would it? If that's all it was based on, was I just want to make sure I avoid that. It puts it in the sense of this is I'm just trying to live up to a list or a set of rules and commands that somebody's keeping track of. That's the left side of our brain, right? That's the left side of our brain. We do all of the stuff on our left side, all the tasks, to-dos, the rules, all of the logical things end up on the left side of our brain. And we can live there, but the reality is that's not where we find relationship. And without relationship, we've talked about without relationship, then we're without joy, because it's the relationship that really brings joy into our lives. When we're fear-bonded in our approach to God and his word, it's all about, I don't want to get caught. I don't want to lose something. I want to avoid pain. I want to avoid discomfort of if I get caught in this, I'll have to give it up. And we're uncomfortable just revealing who we really are to God, which is kind of funny because are we really hiding anything from God? No, he knows us. He knows us. This verse, go ahead, go back one. I saw it up there. That's the one. This is the Message version of the next verses, which I thought was really clearer in helping us. It's a different way to listen to it. And it says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. I'm like, well, that really puts it in a clearer way. He's saying, don't fool yourself. Because reality, we're not fooling God, right? It's us. You can't deceive God. God knows all. It's us that ends up being deceived. It's that the idea that we're in denial. You deal with somebody who's in an addiction, and denial can be a big part of that. It's when you're, I've had people sit and across the table from me and look me square in the eye and tell me things that I found out later were complete non-truths. But boy, they would tell you just like it was, like they were telling you that my thumb is sticking up, that it was true. An addict can be in a place where their health is bad, they can't hold on to relationships or a job. they're stealing from their loved ones. They've done what in the past they said they would never do, but they will look at you and still say, but I could quit any time. You know, that's the denial that we can have in all different kinds of, whether it's addictions or sins that we want to hang on to. They're deceived, aren't they? But we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're in this close relationship with God, and we're leaning into God, and we're listening to God. But the reality is, if we're walking away and we're not doing anything about it, who's the deceived one? Yeah, it's us if we really think we're listening and hearing from God. If you're hearing it, but it's not impacting your life, it's not changing your life, it's not changing the way you treat your spouse or your children, it's not changing the way that you spend your money or your time or how you treat people at work or school, then the deception is that you're in this relationship with God of, I want to hear your word, speak truth to me because I want to know you more and I want to follow you more. We're deceiving ourselves if we think we're in that kind of a relationship if we listen and we don't do anything about what we're hearing. Because the reality is, when we come and spend time with God, we're not just, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do that, and God wants me to do this, and He doesn't want me to do that. And that's not what relationship with God is. When we're talking about having that love-bonded relationship, it's when I'm in God's presence and saying, God, so talk to me. Tell me about who I am. Tell me how I can become more like you. Tell me, how can I be a better husband to my wife? Tell me what's broken inside of me, and I need you to heal it, and I need you to fix me. Do you see the difference in relationships? When we are in this fear-bonded relationship where I'm just trying to hang on to things and I'm not really in interaction with God, it becomes the blame game, right? Well, but they did this, or so I did that, or if I had fill in the blank, then I could really follow you, or if I didn't have this or that going on in my life, then I could really be a good Christian, or I can't do that, I don't know how to do that. All of those things, the blame game things, are all in the list and rules things. I'm just trying to get things done or avoid having things taken away, avoid that judgment of God. This verse said that perfect law gives freedom. The perfect law of God gives freedom from denial. We say, I can't, I don't know how, and God says, I can. I will do it through you if you would come to me and trust me. But this is just the way I am. I can't change myself. And God says, you're my child. I'm dwelling in you. Of course you can't, but with me, I can transform you and change you. Are you seeing the difference between when we come to this verse of we need to be not just hearers of the word but doers? It's not just a matter of you need to do what you've heard. It is, God, you love me and you want blessing for me, so help me to do what I've heard, because I know it'll bless you and it'll bless the people in my life. God, teach me today. Very different, very different. We forget who the mirror is sometimes, don't we? We forget how I look at this mirror. It's the Word of God. It is God Himself. Who is the Word? Jesus. Who inspired the Word of God? The Holy Spirit did. Who sent the Son and the Spirit? Father God. The Word is from God. It's not just this personal, inanimate book object, you know, no different than this. When the Spirit is speaking, this is alive and living and speaks into our lives. It speaks into our lives. The Father, Son, and Spirit. We look at it as part of our relationship with God. Part of that, go back to the next one again. Sorry, I messed you up. I have a feeling that I didn't hit save before I gave you the copy. Yeah, I think I didn't hit save before I put it on the thumb drive. See, 2 weeks off and I'm a mess, right? Go back to the one that was there before. There we go. Think of the Word as part of my relationship with God. Part of my relationship that's bonded in love, not in tasks, not in fear. Part of my relationship that says, man, and honestly, this is something I'm learning as I preach to you guys. I am actually having to, because I've found myself very, very much living in this side of my brain, the left side of my brain, where it's just like, I'm just getting things done. And I didn't realize until recently how joyless that leaves you and has left me. And I've had to literally, when I come to pray or something's happening, I stop, and I don't think I'll always have to do this, but this is how I'm making my brain work, okay? I'm literally taking my attention and picturing a left side of my brain with all the tasks and to-dos, and a right side of my brain, and there's God waiting for me. And I'm making myself go, no, God, I need to come over here, and I need to look to you. And I'm literally making myself re-picture this in my mind's eye, so that I can begin to say, I need to know you better, God. Because over here, it was always, I've got this to do, and this problem, and this, and this. And God, would you do this? And God, would you do that? My prayers were to God, but in such a task, get it done way. And I'm forcing myself to say, so God, what do I do with this? I really need your help. And that may seem a weird thing to have to kind of conjure up in my mind, and everybody's going to be different, but it's making me take prayer as that relational, God, it's my joy to be with you. I desire to be with you. I want to talk with you. And it's not just just things, you know, running off at the mouth. Just I want to be in this joy to be together, knowing that when I come into him, he is waiting for me, wanting to welcome me into his presence. And that's the reality. That's where we have to move this hearers of the word to doers of the word, is in the context of not just checking off things to do. It's in the context of my relationship with God. Otherwise, I'm just, is there joy in just getting all the to-dos checked off? No. It's like, what did I say? It's like getting all the coasters, riding all the coasters at Cedar Point alone. Where's the joy in that? I want to be sitting next to Terry, hooting and hollering, while we both can. I don't know how long much longer we'll be able to do coasters, but we'll do them while we can. I want to do them with somebody, or with my kids, or with a bunch of teenagers that haven't ever been on this ride before, and they're on there for the first time. That's where the joy is, right? That's that right side of my brain. It goes on in this next slide. It says that whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, is not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed. Hang on to that. That's where your blessing is. They will be blessed. How will they be blessed? I bet I didn't put that on there either, did I? Nope. That save button really is important. Sorry about that. Well, if you got your Bibles open, it's right in there. It says, whoever looks intently. What that word means, looks intently, it means, and it was mostly used for the people that ran to the tomb when Jesus had risen. And guess what? You know what they did when they got there? They leaned in and looked. That's what the word literally means. It means to lean into and to peer into. They were looking to see. There were stones rolled away. Is he in there? If we would look into the word of God with that, is God here? Is he there? He is. He's there. I want to lean into it. I want to know him more. I want to find out more about him. That's what that word means. It says, but whoever looks into, leans into God's word, into the perfect law that gives freedom. Where did the law come from? Father, the Son, it's the Word, Holy Spirit we talked about. It gives freedom from those things. Not forgetting it, but doing it, that's where our blessing is. That's what God wants. That's why he welcomes us into his presence. He says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. How can we learn to lean into God where the blessing is? Just some things. Jot these down. This is where this comes in handy. If you need to, write it down in the edge of your Bible. Grab an offering envelope, jot it on there. Learning to lean into God. Make it a conversation. I know, I just made Jerry mad. Don't use up all my offering envelopes. It's worth it. He knows it. Learn to make it a conversation. Start off your time with, good morning, God. So, I got this coming up ahead to me today. I'm going to really need your help. God, would you just give me wisdom? Show me how to deal with this coworker today, because they've been getting on my case. Help my wife as she goes and does her work. And, you know, start it off and make it a conversation. Maybe for some of you are like, duh, of course. But I'm gonna take a bet and say that there's a lot of us that if we were honest about thinking about our prayer time, we would say, yeah, it's not really so much of a conversation. But that's where we need to start. Good morning, God. Because that's where he is. He's wanting to be in relationship. And as we open the word, ask the Spirit of God. Oops, there it goes. Teach me, God. Would you teach me? Open it up and say, I'm just a little bitty me. Teach me something from here today, because I can't learn it on my own. And that's what the Spirit was sent to do, right? Was to guide us into truth, right? That's what the Spirit was sent to do. Counselor, comforter, guide us into truth. Ask the Holy Spirit, teach me. Would you show me something today? Let him into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because if we think that we're hiding something from him, who are we fooling? Us, yeah. We're not fooling God. There's nothing about us that he doesn't know. So it's the time when we say, God, I just want to be straight up open with you. And here's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And how do you think God responds? He loves us. Tell me, I'll take some. How else does he respond? He shows grace to us. He knows that we're not perfect. He says, I'll offer patience, grace to you. What else? What's that? Does God discipline us? Wait a minute, no. God doesn't discipline us, does he? That's mean. No, that's loving. That is loving. God loves us enough to say, I need to help you learn a lesson here, doesn't he? Good parents discipline their children, don't they? Bad parents just let their kids do whatever they want. So, sorry, kids. Now the kids are all gone. Sorry, teenagers, for all those years of discipline. Your parents are just loving on you. Did I see a hand? Donna? Yes. Sometimes he'll take a bad situation and turn around and make it good. Huh? And yeah, when we come into his presence, we say, God, here's my bad situation. Does it happen immediately? Sometimes, sometimes not, right? But that's all part of this interaction of relationships. Sally. Peace. Yeah. Whatever way it goes, right? I was just reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were going to get ready to get tossed into the fire because they would not bow down to the god, to the statue. And they said, you know what? Go ahead. Throw us in the fire. Our God can save us. Huh. What do you think of that? But guess what? Even if he doesn't, I'm still not bowing down to your God. No matter what. There is that when I come into God and we come and find God with his arms wide open, ready to love us, to show grace to us, patience, discipline us, whatever it might be, I can just say, I'm in the presence of God who loves me, and he's almighty. So it's all good, right? It's all good. Yeah, that's, so, you know, bring him the good, the bad, and the ugly. He sees it. He knows it. Learn to listen to God. Allow for some quiet time to just say, I just need to just listen. And one of the ways that we can really listen is to journal. I know this does not come easily to everybody. But all journaling does is it forces us to slow down and listen. So God, is this, what's going on? Here's what's happening. You start writing out as you pray, and you will find that God begins to speak through your writing. I'm telling you, it really, truly does. He does. And is this going to be the same as this? That's a pretty lame response. Is this the same as this? No, it's not. I may write something down, and is it truth? I hope so. It may not be because I'm just a human being, but as I continue to speak, to pray, and seek God's face, he refines what is happening here, which is really what's happening here, and he begins to refine that and help me to find truth. So it's not always truth the first time out, but as I'm processing and thinking and praying through, God helps me to, in pretty powerful ways, to find what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach me in truth. So those are some ways. Make it a conversation. Ask the Spirit to teach you. Let him see the good, bad, and the ugly, because he sees it already. Know that that is a place of peace that we can find. We can listen for his voice and begin to sort through it through journaling. How do you look at being a doer of the word? Wrapping up here. I've been pretty, and I'm trying to be pretty open about my challenges and my struggles and my faith walk as I've been walking through these last few years. We're all in the process of growing, but how many coming up to today, in these past maybe months or years, have really found God calling them to a deeper place that you're needing to lean in closer to God. And you've just been realizing it more and more in these recent days. God is really calling me away from this left task-oriented faith to a close walk with God faith. If that's you and God's really been drawing you towards that relational side, can I just raise your hand? If this is something God has been really speaking to you about, yeah, lots of people, yeah. It's not, you're hearing it and it's impacting you and you're wanting to know him more. The reality is that we're not just sitting with a bunch of lists of things. We're sitting with and in the presence of God. Can I ask those of you that raised your hands, if you would do me a favor and just stand where you are? I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I would like people to see those that have said, you know, God's really been working in me and drawing me closer in that. What I would like to ask is if there's anybody here today that is sensing that you want that closer walk, and he spoke to you today that, yeah, that's me. I really haven't been much of a relationship with God, but I want it to be. And as you look around at these people that are being drawn closer to God, if that's you, just stand up where you are. That's, you know, today this is where I feel like God's calling me today to go to a deeper place. Join those that God's been speaking to. Yeah. Anybody else that says, you know what? Yeah, this is kind of where I'm at today. I do need to grow. Yeah. I just want to pray for you. And we're going to close in just a song after that to draw closer to God. Father, for each and every one that has come to this place of saying, I just haven't been in this relational part with you. It's just become kind of a rote thing. I want it to be a me and you, God. Would you, I thank you, God. I don't have to ask you, would you? You want to, you desire to, it's your plan to draw near to each and every one. Meet them right where they are. And I pray, Father, that they would just sense however you would, because we're all wired differently, God, speak to them in their hearts and their mind's eye about what that place with you looks like. That place where when you close your eyes or when something comes up and you're saying, I need to get with you, God, that's the picture in their mind's eye that they're going to see of whether it's Jesus reaching out his hand, sitting in the garden, Father God just in robed in majesty but with his hand extended saying, come draw near to me, son, daughter. Would you just put that picture in their minds to know that this is the place God wants them and where they want to be. And what a beautiful, awesome, powerful, wonderful place it is to be in the presence of a God who is my Father, who loves me, who is my Savior, who died in my place, who is the Spirit of God who actually dwells in me now. Thank you, Lord, for just giving them this peace. Thank you for giving them the peace to know that that place with you, Father, is available a minute from now, an hour from now, at home, at work, wherever it might be, driving down the road, that place to say, morning, God. And you say right back, good morning. So glad that you came to spend some time together. I love you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to close with a song. Most you know it. If not, just let the words worship flow over you.